for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I am Michelle DeLino. I'm a divorce and family law attorney with DeLino Family Law Group. We have offices in Seattle, Bellevue, and we help clients all over Washington State with divorce and family law. My co-host, Amy Alpeza with Windermere Real Estate, is here as well. She's a certified real estate divorce specialist. And between the two of us, we've probably seen like every possible property or family law situation possible. We have a special guest with us today, Melissa Rosenberg. Melissa is a therapist with Better You Seattle, and she deals with a lot of people dealing with family and relationship issues, and we're lucky to have her here. So it's great to be here with both of you.
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Melissa, tell us, first of all, tell us a little bit about your practice. I mean, I know you deal with a lot of people with relationship transitions. Tell us about your practice and the kind of people that you work with.
Yeah, definitely. Again, thanks for having me. I am a private practice therapist here in Seattle, Washington, and I work with clients. One of my specialty areas is working with clients who are in all different stages of the divorce and separation process. I work with both individuals and couples. And so in some of these situations, couple therapy may be appropriate, and in others, it's more individual focused. But I do work with people, you know, in the early stages or in the contemplative stages where people are kind of ambivalent about their relationships and trying to determine whether or not divorce and separation is the best path forward, or if there is room for relationship repair. And so I might work with an individual who's in that space, trying to kind of unpack their own goals. And if they do want to move forward with divorce or separation, developing, you know, coping skills to overcome the barriers that are in the way and gather the strength in order to do so. Or if they're interested in repairing the relationship, and if that's an option, it could be talking about strategies to engage their partner in more, you know, healthy dynamics, or potentially couples counseling there as well. I do also work with clients who are in the middle of their divorce or separation process, and oftentimes those are high conflict situations with really complicated, you know, soon to be former spouse or co-parents who they're dealing with. And I work with people in navigating the divorce process and also those relationships that they're trying to make changes from. And then also I work with clients, you know, on the other end or even during the process and trying to help develop their path forward and understanding what that looks like for them in their new life and kind of setting the stage for, you know, the next road and the next chapter of their life. And so it's really, you know, wonderful to be able to kind of understand and appreciate the different pieces of this that are involved for all of my clients. There's often a lot of grief involved, even when if it's their idea, even if it's the best path forward, even if it's the healthiest plan. There's still a lot of loss involved with divorce and separation. So I do a lot of grief work with my clients. And yeah, that's just a little bit of an overview, but I could tell you more. What else would be helpful?
No, that's actually great. I mean, I think it's important for people. Amy, I think just on the meetup, somebody was like, you know, we just had a meetup and we were talking about why people would work with a therapist. And I think, you know, you and I have both dealt with really high conflict emotional people. And wouldn't you say that sometimes it's really helpful to have them have that as an emotional sounding board?
Oh, I mean, 1,000%. I think people who are going through a divorce who don't have emotional support, you know, from a therapist, are really doing themselves a disservice. And, you know, as someone who, you know, I went through 6 years of therapy, and not saying everybody needs that long, but I, you know, it was a safe place for me as I went through my divorce and after my divorce, and then, you know, making sure that you're not making the same mistakes again as you move forward. Right. So, yeah, having your own therapist is critical.
Totally. Totally. Melissa, tell us about, we've talked a lot about high conflict on our show lately and just in general, and that's such a buzzword in some ways, but it's actually, I think, makes a lot of sense, because high conflict divorces, family law situations is exactly that. It's stressful and it creates, you know, conflict for both parties. You work with a lot of people in those situations. What are some of the top tips you would give somebody going through a high conflict family law case to help them manage it emotionally?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, of course, it's a totally different story if you're dealing with somebody who you're separating from and it's not amicable, or what there is, you know, complicated, toxic communication patterns that may have been part of what led to the split. Or maybe there was some abuse, or maybe there's kids involved and there's a lot of control and power dynamics. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who's really entitled. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who lacks empathy. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who's manipulative. There's a lot of different you know, pieces of the puzzle there that might make it a high conflict situation. I think one of my biggest tips and something I work really closely with my clients on is how to set limits and boundaries. And, you know, that means a lot of different things in a lot of different contexts, but understanding kind of where you, what you need, what my clients need in order to feel safe in their dynamics with these opposing person or their ex-spouse, what they need to feel safe within themselves, how they can feel emotionally supported by the people around them and set boundaries with this person who might be really difficult to engage with. And that can mean, you know, when and where you're going to communicate with this person, making sure, maybe potentially making sure there's always somebody else present. You could potentially make sure that you're doing it in writing. There's lots of different things that might mean depending on an individual situation, but setting your limits and boundaries, potentially working, hopefully working with a therapist to understand what those are, and not only setting them, but holding them. It's important that you're not just, you know, stating boundaries or putting them out there, but that you do work to hold them. If you have a complicated relationship dynamic where there has been a lot of manipulation or control and power, sometimes your boundaries can get trampled pretty easily. And that might have already happened. And that might be part of what led to the split. But, you know, in this process, really understanding how to have a support network behind you that enables you to be strong and solid in your boundary setting and holding, I think that's going to be a really, really important part of the process. And so when I say support network, right, have a therapist, but also have people in your life, have family and friends in your life who are going to kind of help you stay strong and hold yourself accountable for holding your own boundaries.
That's great. Yeah. I think boundaries is a really, it's like boundaries is just a thing, right? It's easy to say, oh, I'm drawing a boundary, but if you don't hold to it, it means nothing.
Nothing. And often what that means is avoid engaging in toxic communication. Don't get pulled in to the, you know, rabbit hole that they're trying to pull you into. Don't dive into the playing the game that they might be trying to play with you. Just don't, you know, there's ways to sort of prioritize your own personal wellness in this process and holding your limits and holding your boundaries and not engaging in those toxic communication spirals is essential.
That's great. Totally. Do you think when somebody is wanting a divorce, because you mentioned this earlier too, just about grief, even if someone wants the divorce or they know it's the right thing, do you think they deal with a sense of loss anyway, even if it's what they want, because it's a change? Tell us a little bit about that, because a lot of clients I have, they know they want a divorce, but they're still struggling.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that is actually something that comes up quite a bit. I'm working with quite a few clients right now who maybe it was their choice to leave the relationship and it was an unhealthy situation and it's much, you know, better objectively. They know it's going to be the right choice, but they're kind of surprised by the sense of loss or feelings of grief that come up. And I think that that's something that can't be, you know, undervalued here, because grief and loss, I mean, loss is the absence of something, right? And so even if it's not something that you want to have with you, it might be something that you were used to having with you. It might be a lot of different pieces of your identity that were tied to this relationship. There also might be sort of, if you were staying in it for a while, you're probably hoping and wishing that it was going to get better. And so you had this sort of idealized idea about what it was going to be like eventually. And now that's gone, you know, there's a lot of things that are gone and different. And so with that, even if it's potentially positive change, it is still change. It is still loss. And so I think a lot of times people are surprised by feeling this, going through the stages of grief, even when it's something that they're choosing or that they know is the right decision. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of different sort of compounding losses that occur in a divorce and separation process. It could be many different things. I mean, it might not be the relationship, but it might be loss of time with your children. It might be loss of living in the home you lived in for a long time. There could be financial loss. There might be friends or, you know, your in-laws that you're not connected with anymore. There might be sort of your identity as a spouse. There's a lot, the loss of just sort of the routine as it was, or again, kind of the hope for the future of the relationship and the hope that you might have had that it was going to get better. There's so many different things that people grieve when divorce and separation happens. And that's another really important piece of why it's important to have a therapist, because it's not something that you necessarily expect, but it happens for each and every one of my clients. in different ways, you know, depending on their situation and all the different things that are happening with them. So yeah, I mean, and of course, when we think about the stages of grief, this can involve anger, this can involve sadness and depression, this can involve denial, this can involve bargaining and asking yourself all these questions about, you know, unanswerable questions about why this, why that, why didn't I do this, why didn't I do that? And ultimately, you're kind of trying to achieve a sense of acceptance. But it doesn't go in a straight line. You're going to go through all those stages and phases in different ways. And it just really helps to have support in going through that process.
Those are
That
some
makes
great points, Melissa. I'm curious if you were to guess, because I know Michelle and I talk about this sometimes, you know, how often do you have clients that come to you who have not decided that they're going to get a divorce yet? How long would you say that the average soon to be divorcee thinks about divorce prior to filing?
That's a good question. I'm not sure the exact figure there, but I would say that most of the people that I talk to that are in those early stages have been thinking about it for years. 3 years, 5 years, depends how long they've been married, but also or months, you know, it could be months if it's a sooner, if it's a shorter relationship. But, you know, usually it's years. Usually people have been thinking about it and sitting on it for years and avoiding hard, you know, topics and avoiding painful emotions. There might be things about the relationship or about the family structure that they're not wanting to give up. And so facing some of those hard things about the relationship that might make it difficult to stay and might compel them to make a different choice, it's pretty painful.
Sure.
And so I think there's a lot of avoidance and there's a lot of ambivalence around moving forward. So sometimes, you know, when I have clients that come to me in those spaces, we'll spend kind of try to target their ambivalence and work with it. I call divorce ambivalence counseling kind of a solution focused approach of working with clients in a time, you know, short-term way, maybe a couple of months, not drawing it out for years because they've probably already been sitting on it for years. And so trying to sort of tap into the ambivalence and help them unpack what it is they're trying to decide between and what are the barriers to moving forward in one way or the other. I really enjoy working with clients in that space and helping them arrive to a decision. And in some of those cases, I've worked with clients who are able to sort of really recognize that they do want to separate, and find the courage to do that and, you know, ultimately make those steps that they need to make. And in other cases, I've worked with clients who are, you know, really need to approach their spouse about relationship repair and who go into couples counseling. And I have a couple of couples who have really repaired their relationship and not gone that route, but they just needed to do the work, you know? And so there's a lot of different ways that can go, but I think it's really important to have some support and acknowledging the ambivalence and acknowledging the avoidance and doing the work to figure out the right path.
Yeah, those are some great advice.
Yeah, I also think what you said, just for anybody listening out there, one thing to really key in, like Amy said, we've talked about this and you just said it again. People think about divorce for years before they do anything. Like they just do it because it's, and that's good. I mean, it's a big decision to make, but anybody listening, just know that if like you're sitting with this and you're not sure what to do and you're wondering, gosh, is it abnormal that I keep thinking about this? It's not. You're not alone. Like this is what people do. And it takes time. And usually what I always tell people is it takes time and then something happens that you can't ignore. And it's either something that happened in your relationship that meant I have to do something or someone else does something, you know, and makes the choice for you. But it's normal to let it sit for a couple of years. I think a lot of the stuff that Melissa said about tabling, you know, how long that ambivalence is going to go and really working toward a solution one way or the other is important because it ends what is a very painful time. It's painful thinking about it on your own and sitting with it. So getting help is a great idea. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on. This has been really helpful. And I think a lot of our listeners are, there's a lot of good stuff here. So hopefully everybody listening got some good takeaways.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Melissa, if you, if listeners who are listening to this podcast, they hear you and resonate with what you're saying. Is there a good way for them to get in touch with you? How should they reach out?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. My website is betteryouseattle.com. And if you go on to there's a way to contact me through the website. And I think that's the best way to go. You can go to my website, learn a little bit more about me. My phone number's on there, or you can click the button to contact me via email. And I do a free consultation with clients to talk about more about what they're looking for, tell them a little bit more about me and my practice. And then we can determine if we are a good fit and working together.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot. And everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.